This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Oh my, hari mai, ko Hana tōku ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Now today I'm pleased to be welcoming Wing Valley Productions back to That's The Ticket, fresh off a successful season of Outside In. Wing Valley are back at Free FM and also back at the Meteor with their inaugural junior production of The Wizard of Oz. And please correct me in a minute if I've got that fact absolutely cooked. I've got a couple of cast members and director of the show, and we're almost all new guests. Although, Georgia, it's been about a couple of years since I've had you on, right?
At least, yeah.
But, yeah, I've got Hannah, I've got Ash, and I've got Georgia, as I've already mentioned. Welcome to That's The Ticket, guys.
Hi, Georgia. Yeah.
So, Georgia, was I completely cooked with my facts about the inaugural production?
You did get the title of the play wrong.
Did I say The Wizard of Oz?
You said The Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm looking at my notes and it says The Magic of Oz. Like, I wrote it correctly.
That's okay. I mean, we purposely did choose The Magic of Oz to invoke that, and it has been getting mistaken for The Wizard of Oz a lot.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
No, it's totally fine. I think The Wizard of Oz is obviously the most famous of all of L. Frank Baum's novels, and most people don't even know that there were 13 other novels by him, and then even more by the people who, like, took up the mantle after him.
Yes, and you know I'm going to be leaning on that heavily today with my song choices.
Great. No, we had some music playing while we were doing painting last weekend, and lots of songs started coming up that were very relevant to the show, but not like Kermit's It's Not Easy Being Green while we're all painting the Emerald City.
God, yeah.
So we were talking about sending you a list of the things that were coming up and we forgot. So I'm glad you've got some Wizard of Oz themed
okay,
stuff.
Out the gate, it's a very honest space here on the show, which is good. But I've got some of the cast from The Magic of Oz. I've got Hannah and I've got Ash. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Pretty well, I think, yeah.
Yep, and I mean, I guess this can be a team effort, but I always like to ask guests to kind of tell me about the show. So for The Magic of Oz, when is it, where is it, what is it, what's its favourite colour? I think it's green based off the chat that we've already had.
Yeah.
But I guess I've got some of the answers. You can tell me if I'm correct. When? 23rd of October with a 7 p.m. show, and then 24th of October with a 5 p.m. show.
And then we've also opened another 7:30 p.m. show on the 24th.
Oh my goodness, this is fresh news for me. How good, I love to see it. Well done, guys.
Yeah, we're very excited. The kids and all of the people in the background have put in so much work, so we're stoked to be able to open a third one.
Yeah, we love a two-show day.
We really do.
We'll see how the kids go. For a lot of the kids, it's their first ever show.
Yeah.
So a two-show day is probably going to be a lot, but they've risen to all the challenges so far.
Yeah. Baptism by fire.
Absolutely.
Break a leg. That means something positive in the theatre if your director hasn't taught you already. And then you're running at the Meteor Theatre.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
And I guess my most important question for you guys is, like, can you tell me more about, like, the show, what's it all about? Because we've already kind of touched on, obviously, it's part of the series of and a stage adaptation based off one of the books in this Wizard of Oz book series. But, like, tell me what's going on, guys.
So the kind of vague plot of the show is it's a very ensemble cast. It's got a lot of characters.
Love it.
But we follow along with Rogato and Kiki, Rogato being my character, as they try to take over the Land of Oz. The story is guided along by the narrators, one of which is Hannah here.
Great.
And we also have a side plot in, well, it's about the same amount of screen time, of stage time, actually. But I'm not in this scene, so it's a side plot to me. we have another plot where Dorothy and the wizard are trying to get a birthday present for one of their good friends, Ozma. And yet another plot. There's quite a few. And they all balance very well. Good work, right. Georgia. Where Trot and Cap'n Bill, who are two like newer characters, are trying to also find a gift, and they go to find a magical flower.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack
there. Yes.
Okay, and sorry, what was the name of the character that you're portraying?
Regato.
Regato.
Yes.
There's a lot.
There is a lot there, yeah.
Regato, okay. I'm like, how do you even spell that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
R-U-G-G-E-D-O.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm really impressed that you know, because I was going to sound it out and there was not a U in what I was thinking, so that's great.
I'd be concerned if I didn't know, given I wrote the script.
Yeah.
And then, Hannah, you're one of the narrators.
Yes, I play narrator two.
Okay, great. Spell narrator. No, that's true. And then, Georgia, so you wrote the play.
Yeah, so I adapted it from the novel, which was L. Frank Baum's 13th Oz novel, which was actually published like 2 months after he died.
Okay, we love a posthumous release. Okay, and are you also directing the show?
I am, yeah.
Okay, is there anything you're not doing? That's probably the easiest way to kind of unpack what's going on here.
No, there is very, very little I'm not doing. I have a hand in each part of it.
Are you on stage?
No.
Oh, no. Still
unless
time.
Something goes very badly wrong, I'm not on the stage. And I'm not stage handing or stage managing or anything.
Okay.
We decided it was best for me to be backstage in the green room in case any kids need more emotional support.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, keep up the good work. And I guess back to my two cast members.
Hi.
So, like, how's it been going? Is this first show or for you guys? Or have you done other stuff?
No. My first show I was a part of, I was 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to ask how old you are now, but I feel like it's just going to make me feel old.
I'm 13.
Yep.
Cool. Very old.
Same. I'm actually 14 and a half. Okay, what was your first role when you were 10?
I was Ash in Sherlock Holmes, the Baker Street Irregulars.
Wait, so Hannah, you played someone called Ash. Ash, yes. Please tell me you've played someone called Hannah.
I wish I had. I'll write it for you. Thank you.
Okay, I think I saw that show.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, was that the one at Rivoli?
Yes, yeah, it was. Glenn directed it.
Yes, I did 100% see that show. I probably watched you in that show.
That's cool.
Great job.
Thank you.
totally remembered you from that. Okay, and then Ash, is this your first role, second role? What are we at?
It depends what you count as a role, because I've done stuff at, well, not like an official play, but I've done lots of showcases of classes I've been in before.
Right.
But it's definitely not my first one, as earlier this month, both Hannah and I did Frozen Junior.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Do you guys always come as a package deal? Just asking for a
mate. Surprisingly often.
Are you like at the same school or are you just involved in
the same
creative circles?
We're just in very similar creative circles.
Okay. We'd love to see it. please continue to thrive and unless you guys don't get on. But, I mean, so far you seem reasonably pleasant castmates, so we love to see it. And who were we in Frozen Junior?
I was a townsperson.
Okay.
Yes, it was through National New Theatre, which means you get to be a part of it automatically, but the auditions, only a few people get leads, obviously. So everyone who didn't is automatically part of the ensemble. For the juniors, they got to be the trolls.
Yeah.
For the intermediate and seniors, they got to be the townspeople and Oaken's family.
Awesome.
We were both ensemble. Yeah. For clarification.
Wait, so were you also a townsperson or were you a troll?
I was also a townsperson, yeah.
Okay. Georgia, were you a troll? No. I'm
kidding. I don't know. I can be a troll in rehearsal sometimes. We just both shaded me at the same time.
Yes, we did.
This sounds like a great environment to do theatre. But I guess, obviously, it's not just you guys involved in the show. Director Georgia, how many people are in your cast?
We have 15 students and one toddler.
Okay.
Yep.
Does the toddler do classes or are they just a special guest?
So the toddler is a younger sibling of one of our students.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Yeah, we needed someone to play the role of a tiny monkey who runs across the stage and gets turned into a 50-foot soldier.
Okay, so it was either you or this toddler.
Yeah,
you were already doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And then she also gets to burst out of the cake at the end.
Oh, yum. Great. Okay, so there's 15.
Yeah.
That's enough to be getting on with, I think.
Plenty, yeah. Yeah, and it's quite good. There are 23 roles, but it means that our juniors have had quite a few different little chorus roles, and they get to jump in and out and have all sorts of fun different costumes.
Is there singing in this, or is it just a play?
At the moment, Wing Valley Youth Theatre Program is trying to focus very specifically on acting, and especially with our junior shows, kind of creating this space for kids who, I mean, you both obviously love musical theatre and you like performing in that, but there are a lot of kids who want to perform and want to act, but they don't want to sing and dance.
Relatable content. Everyone thinks, I think it's just because I'm loud and because I have a podcast, but they're like, you must be able to sing and dance. And I'm like, no, just like to yap. That's it.
I really appreciate the opportunity to do dramatic acting because although I do like musical theatre, I love singing and dancing.
Mm.
I'm not that confident in myself to actually get a lead role, so that's why I like these opportunities to actually be, I don't know, a lead.
Well said. You've got time. Take it from me, someone who talks to actors every week and has no ground to tell you this, but you've got time, and it seems like you're already getting busy with your the amount of shows you've been doing.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're working real hard with Wing Valley to create more of these opportunities for the kids doing exams. And both of these two came with me to Rotorua earlier in the year for speech and drama competitions.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. How'd we do?
I think I did pretty good. Although I didn't place anything, I got a highly commended and very highly commended in my categories.
Okay. I think you are the first person I've ever had on That's the Ticket who's got highly commended at a speech competition, so congratulations.
Well, Ash.
I got second, but that sounds less impressive when you realise there were three people and one person didn't finish their poem.
No, seriously, you guys seem more qualified to talk on this radio show than I am at this rate. Jeez. But so, correct me if I'm wrong, Georgia, but are the exams or the assessments that Wing Valley helps with, is it Trinity? Is that what it's called?
So we're doing Trinity College exams. So I've been teaching, for 8 years, and the past 5 years I've been doing Trinity College exams. Mm. The first year that I did Trinity College exams, I offered solos.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that since then, and this is the first year since then, since joining up with Wing Valley, that I've been able to offer those solos again, and that's been really wonderful this year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, keep up the good work. I mean, it seems because the youth classes for Wing Valley, you guys haven't been running those for that long, eh?
No, we started this year. Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah.
They grow up so fast. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we were marvelling ourselves this afternoon at the rehearsal about, oh my God, we've actually put together a really professional show for these kids in our first year. We're really excited. We've got so many plans. We've got double the amount of classes next year. Wow. And we have big plans for next year's junior show.
Great.
Yep.
Okay, well, you know I'm going to push on next year's junior show. But before we get into that, I might break for a cheeky song because I know I've already kind of alluded to the fact that I kind of attempted to do some homework and pick some music that's on theme. And I feel like you guys are potentially good people to talk about this one with. So my first song is I've picked One Short Day from Wicked.
Yeah.
I've gone for original Broadway cast. So
yes, we love that.
We love that. Okay.
You can choose whether you keep the mics up or not, because these two will definitely start singing along.
We will.
I was raised on this song.
You were raised on this song? I feel like you weren't even born when the song came out.
I wasn't.
Oh. But
I'm 15. I was not born.
Oh, you didn't need to reiterate it. But I guess I picked this one because it's in the musical Wicked, it's when they visit the Emerald City, which is involved. It is a key setting and a key part of the plot in The Magic of Oz, right?
Yep. Yes. Probably the most recognisable setting. We have two settings. Kind of three. We've got Mount Munch, which most people won't know. We've got the Goo Goo Forest, which most people won't know. And then we've got the Emerald City, which people do know.
Okay,
and the Magical Island.
Magical Island.
Yeah, there's the Magical Island.
And also On the Path.
True.
Which is technically not in the city.
To be fair, there are like about 80 different locations that they visit in the novel. So I
you did a great job cutting it down. Yeah. I've skim read through the book since, there's a lot of locations.
Yeah. It's a bit location, location, location. Mm-hmm. That's a callback to my mum who will get that reference and who will be listening right now.
I get it. Don't worry.
I've got one short day. And my last question before I hit play is, have we seen the film adaptation of Wicked?
Yes.
How do we feel about it?
I feel it's very self-indulgent. I feel it could have been shorter.
I agree.
And I think there should have been less riffs, because I am not a fan of riffs in musical theatre songs. I don't think they are necessary, okay. And I don't think they add much.
I'm coming with a hot take. So good.
Okay.
I have opinions.
That has become very clear in the last, 1 minute of right now. Hannah, anything you want to add?
I don't have really strong opinions with the movie, but I'm actually quite excited for the new one.
Okay. Mm. All right. Part two, act two. Georgia, hot take or we good?
No, I do feel like they kept it fairly faithful to the original stage musical, but I agree that I don't know how they're going to stretch it out to three films.
They're not doing three, are they?
Wait, I thought they were only doing two.
It was three.
I thought it was only two.
I hope it's only two. That would be better.
It still didn't need to be two, but
like we're almost at the end of the story already, at the end of the first film.
Very little happens in the second act.
Spoilers. No. Okay, well, here's one short day and we will be right on back.
One short day in the Emerald City.
I've always wanted to see the Emerald City.
One short day in the Emerald City.
One short song break with One Short Day from the original Broadway cast recording of Wicked. And why am I talking about Wicked? Because I've got a couple of cast members and the director, playwright, everything else of Wing Valley Productions' upcoming season of The Magic of Oz, based on Frank L. Baum's 13th novel in the Oz series. Look, I listened to the first part of this interview. And actually, as we've kind of got back into it, Georgia, I assume you read the book before you adapted it into a play.
Yes. And I would be impressed if you didn't.
And then I think, Ash, you mentioned that you skim read the book.
I did skim read it, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been struggling with just sitting down and properly reading something, so I don't remember all of it, but I did skim read it.
Okay. Hannah, have you read the book?
No.
It's okay. Safe space. I also haven't read the book. My mum was a huge fan of The Wizard of Oz. I think it was the first movie that she saw when she was a kid. And yeah, I remember growing up, we did have copies of the books. And so we probably had The Magic of Oz, never read it. I was a big fan of Return to Oz.
Yep.
The film, especially because it was kind of scary.
Yeah, that's a creepy film.
Yeah, but in a good way. Yeah.
Well, I think that the books are quite creepy and quite morbid.
Oh, like, yeah, they are weird.
Yeah.
They are weird and kind of disturbing, to be frank.
Yeah, there were a few things that I had to cut out to make it totally child-friendly in the modern era.
Yeah.
But there also are a lot of things that, like, have translated quite nicely so that the parents will enjoy them and they go a little bit over the kids' heads.
We love that. We love the kind of different levels there. And were you just lolling because you made a pun because you said to be frank because they're by
Frank? Yes, I did.
Yeah, you know, credit where credit's due.
Thank you.
But, you know, as we've already addressed, The Magic of Oz is opening quite soon down at the Meteor Theatre. And I guess I want to ask you guys, how have rehearsals been going? How long have you guys been working on this one before we get into that?
So we had the auditions 13 weeks ago.
Okay.
And we started rehearsals 10 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. We love her. She's a fast game, but she's a good game. And how have the rehearsals been going, team, to my two cast?
The rehearsals have been honestly great. They're great fun. Even though, like, we are the two eldest of the cast, I believe.
Layla is.
Well, we're two of the three oldest of the cast.
Yeah, you guys are so old.
All the kids are, like, really sweet. They're genuinely, like, just quite fun.
Mm.
But I do really appreciate that they can quiet down when we need to actually focus on what we're doing.
Mm.
It's been such a big improvement from the first rehearsal to what we have now.
Oh, yeah.
All the kids, like you said, are so sweet. But at the start, they did struggle with some of the more wordier lines, all young people do. But now they've gone so far and done so well. It's amazing.
It's really lovely for me to see you two, like, seeing that in the kids, because that's how I see you guys, right?
Aww.
Like, I watch that happening and I see that big improvement in you two throughout the rehearsal process. And I've been actually teaching both of you for quite a few years now.
Yes, you were actually... During Sherlock, which was in 2022, I also did stagecraft, and you were my teacher.
Yes.
Yeah. So, then till now, you've always been my drama teacher.
So you're just stuck with Georgia.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, we've followed across companies.
Yeah. I mean, could be worse, to be honest. But, I mean, that's great to hear. Right thing to say when your director is in the studio as well. That's a joke. Seems very genuine. And I guess now to your director, like, you've already kind of touched on how... echoing what these two have said about getting to see the growth.
Mm.
But, you know, we're talking about how this is the inaugural kid show for Wing Valley's junior side of things. How are you feeling?
Good. I am very tired. There are a lot of midnights, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m.s going into it at this point. But I just, it's all so worth it. I'll stress myself out and think that everything's awful, and then I'll come to rehearsal and the kids are just rocking. It's incredible. And some of the kids that, like you say, at the beginning of rehearsal, I was like, oh God, is this going to go off? Are we going to be able to get them to do it? And now they're just like on stage projecting and having fun with their characters, and they have some quite tricky lines down. I mean, I did, so we did the auditions, and then I kind of slightly edited the script in a few places to make sure that it was suitable for all of our students. But still a little bit of a challenge. Like, we don't want it to be easy. We're supposed to be teaching and learning.
It's cool that you, I was going to say make, but like that you guys have the opportunity to go through auditions. Because I assume if you're doing the drama classes, you get to be in the production, but the opportunity to do the audition process?
Yeah.
It was actually really cool because in our like personal class time, because we both do an acting class, exam class with Georgia, as previously mentioned, we actually did exam prep. So not only did we audition prep, so not only did we get to have the audition process in a safer environment for any kids who might not have auditioned before, we also got advice on how to prepare for an audition, which was not only just really beneficial to younger kids who haven't done shows before, but was also really beneficial to me.
Auditioned a scary man.
That's really lovely to hear, because that is, I mean, like, that's the ethos of our mahi. That's why that's why we're doing it, right? And we had the auditions during class time as well. I mean, the rehearsals are all a separate thing. They're rehearsing for a full play at the same time as getting ready for their exams in classes and getting ready for the end of year show where they showcase everything they've done in class.
Nice and chill.
Yeah, and they don't have to do the junior show. There's the option there, but just creating that safe environment so that all different kids of different types have the opportunity to be in a full production.
Yeah. Because this is the thing, like, no shade on school shows, but a school show, would you guys find school show very different to doing something like this?
Yes. I have a tiny little bone to pick with school shows. We're not going to go into it.
Yeah.
But I've personally struggled with them. It's very different. This is a lot smaller. It's a lot more of, like, an intimate class. You know all the people. You can... You have little jokes with the kids, like, it's really nice, because in a school show, often, unless you're a lead, or in, like, the minor roles parts, you often don't get that kind of community.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like, and, I mean, even as I kind of ask this question, I know the answer, but there's a saying that comes up a lot here on That's the Ticker is, like, theatre whanau's for life. Do we feel like...
Very much so.
You know, through the rehearsal period, you guys as a cast have all become really tight and, like, working really well together?
With the exception of the siblings, yes.
Oh, that's right, you've got some siblings.
We do.
So
yeah.
as the dynamic there with relationships and stuff. And here's the thing, is with That's the Ticker, I often get the privilege of talking to people when they are in their tech week or about to do their tech. And so I'm going to ask a cheeky question, which is, are we feeling ready to get on stage? Are we ready to take the leap?
I feel there is some things we need to work on, which is more like the newer things, like prop changes, costuming. But I feel like, we can. Even if we do have to go on stage tomorrow, we'll go out and do great.
Okay, you heard it here first, guys, so you better book your tickets at themeteor.co.nz. I took a hot minute to plug that one, but if you want to find out more about the Magic of Oz and the newly added third show on the 24th of October... pull over if you're driving, grab your internet-connected device, type in themeteor.co.nz, and you're away laughing. But, Georgia, you've got a tech coming up, right?
Yeah.
Ready for it?
Actually, very ready for it. You interviewed Glenn a few weeks back for a show that we were doing, directing together. He also is very heavily involved behind the scenes in this one.
Classic
Glenn. And that was an adult show, and we definitely are more ready to go on stage than we were at this point with the grown-ups. So that's nice.
Again,
no shade to the grown-ups.
Yeah, but my kids are amazing. Shade to the grown-ups.
The honesty in the space is out the gate. But I think that's the thing with the young ones, and I'm looking at you guys, there's just some kind of magic there, pun intended, because especially like with line learning and stuff, I feel kids are really good at doing that, right? No?
I'm not.
You're very good at line learning,
I still don't know my lines.
You're struggling with scene four.
Except for one scene.
It's very normal for an actor to have, like, a small part of a script that they're struggling with. And that's why it's so lovely to be doing this, like, full play with you. Mm. At such a young age, you can work out, like, oh, okay, it's not that I'm terrible at learning lines. It's that actually with every show, everyone is going to have a little bit that they struggle with.
My singular bone to pick with you over this whole thing is that you've given me like four paragraph monologues that are all extremely similar in what they're talking about, but all have different wording. And I have to flick between them and I keep getting them mixed up.
Do you know what?
And that's why I struggle with that scene.
Here's the thing though. Me and the audience, not going to know.
Mm. Yeah.
just back yourself, fake it till you make it.
I do know my cues though. So I can make something up. On cue.
Great.
That's okay. The main thing that the little ones struggle with is like they've got their lines
it's
really well.
Cute.
But they'll kind of like look to me as a director, like, is it my line? And I'm like, you know that it's your line. Just say it. Yeah. Don't look at me.
And then Hannah, how are the lines going? How are the cues going?
I know my lines. I know that. But it's sometimes people throw me off themselves, like the narrative meant to bounce off of each other, but since like the narrator's in charge of the show, I can say what I want,
exactly.
Do what I go with it. And there's another person who's with me, narrator one, and we can cover for each other's lines.
Great.
Which I quite appreciate because either one of us could mess up and someone can just go, oh, right, I know it, and just say it.
Beautiful.
I do have a dare you to just completely randomly go completely off script, take us somewhere else in like one of the shows and just go, yeah, okay, we're not doing this anymore.
I've always imagined that, especially when I'm in the ensemble. Wait, can they actually go up on stage and like stop you? Because like you can do whatever you want, but they actually stop the show?
I don't know. Find out. Please don't.
This is incredible to be witnessing live.
Hannah is really amazing with her lines, and our narrators, they have like 176 lines each or something. It's more than double what anyone else in the show has.
I take offence to that. I have 90
like,
something.
Some of the words like three lines.
Yeah.
Just I have no lines, just so everyone's aware. I have not a single line in the show, Georgia.
But yeah, she was down pretty early on, and the narrators are very responsible for moving our like props and set around as well. They're kind of, you know, as well as telling the story verbally, they actually physically move the story along.
Great.
So it's quite important to have those lines down when you have to be doing other things with your hands. And Hannah has just been like really amazing getting those down so quickly and keeping the whole thing flowing.
Great. Yeah. Car pie. And then my last question on the line bit, which, because I get a lot of actors here on That's the Ticket, and I often ask this question. People have specific kind of methods or ways that they learn their lines. Georgia, you can answer this one too, because you have been an actor. You are an actor? Are you still an actor?
Yeah.
I can still call you an actor? Great. but, yeah, how do we learn our lines? Any kind of specific way we do that?
For me, I am really, really, really good at learning music. I have.
I asked you the question, you immediately started talking about something else. But
no, I have a logic to this. If you put it to a melody, I can learn anything.
Okay, great.
So I try to get the way I'm going to say the line down first, before memorizing the way, like the ups and downs and the cadence of. God, I sound so autistic.
Safe space.
I memorize like the way I say the line. And the up, like, I raise my inflection here and I go down here. I love Shakespeare.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. I adore Shakespeare.
Yeah, Ash has been working on a Shakespeare monologue with me.
Oh, yes. Great. From what play?
Titus.
Ooh, Titus.
Yeah.
Titus Andronicus. Wasn't expecting that.
No, yeah.
That's the really fun thing about the exam classes is that we get to do these, like, really, more grown-up pieces.
Am I allowed to say which monologue it is?
Yep.
It's the one where he's discussing the pie plan.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's a great monologue.
Oh, okay. Read that one in your own time, team.
Yes, I was like, am I allowed to bring this up?
Yeah.
And I always check with parents that monologues are appropriate for their specific child.
Thank you, Georgia. Okay, so Ash is on that iambic pentameter. Hannah, how do you learn your lines?
I feel like I learn them, like, the more times I do them, or if we're blocking and I have a movement to go with them, I'm like, oh, I've got to pick that up. What do I say and, like, do? And I feel like that really helps me.
Okay. I will allow it. Thank you for sharing. Georgia, how do you learn your lines?
Yeah, for me, it's really just repetition.
Yeah.
It's over and over again. It's like the tongue is a muscle. It's a muscle memory.
Okay.
I mean, and like Hannah says, with the movements as well, once you've got the blocking in, you have that muscle memory of your body movements that goes with the lines and it all ties together.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All pretty good. I'm in no position to assess how you learn your lines. But yeah, it's always a fun question to ask because interesting stuff comes up. I mean, I agree with all the methods that I've heard today. I've heard some people about writing them out backwards and stuff.
Yeah, we had some really interesting methods in Outside In as well. We had one of our cast members was writing down the first letter of each of her lines. Yeah. That just simply would not work for me.
I could then tell you the first letter of each of the lines. Yeah. I could not tell you the entire line.
Yeah, I think that's where I draw the line, to be honest.
If it works, it works, I guess.
But now I'm going to take another break for a song because I have a very important segment that I need to squeeze in. Georgia, you may remember this. Mm-hmm. It's time for Rick's Pick. And so how this works is I have an Uncle Rick. He's a great listener of radio, great listener of music. And when I started That's the Ticket 240 episodes ago, congratulations, your episode 240.
Oh, nice round number.
Yes, I know it is quite nice to hear and to look at. But when I started That's the Ticket, Uncle Rick was like, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like. And each week you can pick a song from the list and we'll play Rick's Pick. And every week we have. And now I have this thing where I get a bit Englishy, say, with it, and I try and pick a song that relates to the people I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And so I've gone for a song called Do You Believe in Magic by The Lovin' Spoonful because,
I know this song.
Magic of Oz. You know this song?
I do know this song.
Oh, Uncle Rick will be impressed. But this one's for you, mate. I hope you enjoy it. This week's Rick's Pick, Do You Believe in Magic by The Lovin' Spoonful. Very topical and apt because today I've been catching up with a couple of cast and the director of Wing Valley Productions' upcoming season of The Magic of Oz, which is coming to a Meteor Theatre near you. Tickets are available now at themeteor.co.nz. And I've got your dates here somewhere.
23rd and 24th of October.
Yes, and 7 p.m. show on the 23rd, and then on the 24th we've got a 5 p.m. and a 7:30.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the 7:30 has just been added. You heard it here first. You probably didn't hear it here first. Actually, now's probably a good time to plug the Wing Valley Productions social media channels. Go give those a follow so you can get a behind-the-scenes look, because we love to see it. I love a look behind the scenes, and which is why I've kind of really been enjoying catching up with you guys, because I feel like I've been getting all the tea, the gossip on...
We get very chatty.
Yeah. No, it's good. Hey, I need people who can chat on a radio show, guys. But I do want to take a step away from the Magic of Oz for a hot minute and ask some more cheeky radio host questions, because, you know, that's what I'm here for. But do we have any other upcoming projects that we're allowed to talk about?
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I had an audition for my school's combined production of Oliver yesterday.
Oh, great.
Yes, so I got a Sacred Heart.
Great.
And we do our productions with St. John's.
Okay.
So they chose it this year. So, yeah, I went to my audition yesterday. I think they liked me.
I like you, if that counts.
Thank you. But we have to wait and see, I guess.
Who did you audition for?
Oh, a range of characters.
Okay.
I always go for the ensemble and music theme things.
Yeah.
But I went for a side character, Charlotte Sowerberry. She's
nice.
A nice singing role. The leads I auditioned for were Fagin and the Artful Dodger.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but so on board. So on board. Okay, well, please keep me updated, and then I can, you know, let my people know. Ash, you got anything else coming up?
Not anything currently booked in. I'm going to be, it's a little while off, but I have a bunch of auditions coming up, and I'm going to be in the opening show of Founders Theatre, From the Stars, because I do...
Founders Theatre? Waikato Regional Theatre?
That one.
Yeah. Founders literally doesn't exist anymore.
No, not that one.
Do
the
you
other one.
Remember Founders existing?
I don't know. I think they might.
Maybe. But sorry, so you're involved in the opening of the Waikato Regional Theatre?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge performance. I'm not the most qualified person to talk about it by any means, as I found out about on Wednesday.
Right.
But I do a couple of other things, and
ominous.
I do a few things.
Okay.
And it's going to be like a. It's more a collection of short stories with like a loose plot flowing through them, and like a bunch of the musical theatre academies and the dance schools in the area have been invited to come be a part of this show. So it's going to have like hundreds of people on and off the stage.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm quite excited for it.
You should be.
I haven't even received the stuff yet, but I'm in.
You're okay. Well,
yeah.
Thanks for the tea. You're literally going to be a part of history.
Yeah.
And then, Georgia, do you have any tea for me today?
I don't have any personal projects that I'm performing in or anything at the moment. I'm,
rude.
Like, very... focused on growing these opportunities for rangatahi with Wing Valley Youth at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have been quite busy because you've just got off outside and then you're doing this.
Yeah.
A lot of directing and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, we're expanding next year, so there's lots of stuff that I'm focused on for that.
Okay, great. Very diplomatic answer. I will allow it. But I've got a little segue where you guys can just chill out because I'm just going to talk about some of the other upcoming stuff around the place. I mean, you can interject or just listen to me talk. I'm quite good at talking. But here are some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, in the not-so-distant future. So we've got the Magic of Oz featuring these guys running at the Meteor Theatre on the 23rd of October with a 7 p.m. show, and then on the 24th of October with a 5 p.m. and a newly added 7:30 p.m. show. More info and tickets are available right now at themeteor.co.nz. Also on at the Meteor, The Last Thing We Build is running the 29th of October to the 2nd of November with 7 p.m. shows and a 2 p.m. matinee on the 1st and 2nd of November.
Which my wife has built the set for.
Oh, yo, kia ora. More info and tickets at themeteor.co.nz. And then over at Clarence Street Theatre, they've got Queen, It's a Kind of Magic. Topical, because magic.
You're so prepared.
Thank you. It's like I wrote notes. but yeah, Queen, It's a Kind of Magic is in at Clarence Street on Friday the 24th of October. More info on tickets at Ticketek. And then down at Navarra Lounge, they've got By the Way, a Red Hot Chili Peppers tribute show in on the 25th of October at 8 p.m. More info on tickets at Eventfinder. Whew. I always like to say that I'm not the definitive guide to all the cool creative stuff coming up in Kirikiriroa, because otherwise I'd just be talking for the whole hour and then I wouldn't need my guests. And, you know, we love the guests. So back to the guests. Georgia, I'm not sure if I've asked this question to you before on That's the Ticket, but we've spent the last, like, almost 45 minutes here on TTT with you three, giving me the tea, the inside scoop. And so one of my last questions for you is, how do you take your tea? And it's interesting asking this to young people.
Mm-hmm. I like tea.
You like tea.
I take offence to that, yeah.
Honestly, you have been a ride. No, I'm kidding. But how do you take my how do you take your tea? Tell me all about it.
I'm mostly like a herbal and berry kind of person. I'm a big fan of peppermint. I got really into it when I got sick, like a couple months back.
Right.
And I was like, wow, tea is great, actually.
You could almost say it's terrific.
You could. I don't know if you should, but you could.
Oh my goodness. All right. Yep. Okay. So we're on the herbal tea.
Yeah. I've got this one, and it's plum and boysenberry, and I adore it. It's so good.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
Okay. Approved. Hannah, do you drink tea?
Not like Earl Grey or anything. I drink, like, cold brew things. Like,
that doesn't count.
Iced tea is tea.
Barely.
Yeah, I used to make tea for my parents all the time, and I was like,
"You should."
And I was like, "I should try one for myself," and I said, "No, this is not for me." But yeah, I like.
You could revisit it when you're older. Your taste buds may adapt, but that's fine. Iced tea is allowed. I agree with Georgia. Ash, you get too passionate about things you agree with, and you have a lot of hot takes. I'm kidding, by the way, everyone. We are mates. We're still mates. Georgia, do you drink tea?
I do. I take my tea black.
Okay. Just any sugar or anything like that?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is it bag in or bag out?
Out.
This changes a lot about you.
Wow. I wouldn't have expected that either. How long have you been on the black tea?
I don't know. I started drinking tea very young as an English person.
Same.
And then I guess I went vegan and started taking it with alternative milks,
yeah.
And it's just not the same, so I just changed to black tea.
Wow. Okay. All right. Back to the herbal tea. Are we bag in or bag out?
If I'm taking it to go, bag in, because I have, like, the reusable cups. If
great.
I'm eating it, if I'm having it at home, and you don't eat tea, bag out.
I mean, no, I was about to make a joke about eating tea bags, but I imagine we've got quite a few.
I've tried it. It's not good.
Oh, my God.
I haven't.
I'm like, we have young people listening.
I'm a young person.
Exactly.
I'm 13.
I'm a bad influence.
I'm younger than you at this rate. Oh, crikey. All right. Well, thanks for answering that one. It's always good. It always kind of opens up an exciting realm of conversation. But I guess my last thing I want to say to you guys is break a leg. Do we know what that means? Have you told them about the superstition?
I don't think we need to be taught.
No. I had a stroke. You say break a leg because every show has a cast.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, I'm going to take that and pretend it's my own joke.
Good plan. It's not like this is going on the radio or anything.
Hey now. There's only like a few people listening. Shh.
They won't
know. You're right at the end of the podcast. Yeah, yeah. Signed off now.
It's all good. But thanks again for coming on and having a chat. Break all the legs in a positive way for the season ahead. And to my lovely listeners, you can bet that I'll be back with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket in the not-so-distant future. But in the meantime, I've got one last song to play, and this is a Hannah pick of me trying to go on theme with, like, the realm of The Wizard of Oz. And so I've gone for a song from The Wiz. Do we know The Wiz?
Yeah.
Oh, we have one head shake. Hannah shook her head silently so that no one would know, and then I outed her.
I'm very uncultured.
But did you just say you're
13.
Very uncultured?
How could you?
Mate, you haven't had that much time. So it's okay.
But your mum took you to a French film festival this year.
Really?
You're getting cultured. It's okay.
Great.
You're building it up.
Yeah. Listen to your teacher. But I've gone for Ease On Down the Road from the original recording of The Wiz. So Diana Ross and Michael Jackson. Don't know if we know who those people are.
I do.
No idea who those people are.
I'd love a bit of Diana Ross, eh? She's my dream girl. But, yeah, enjoy and ease on down the road to Tech Week. I don't know if that's the best segue, but there we have it. Mate wa, team.
Ease on down the road. Ease on down. Ease on down the road. Ease on down. Ease on down the road. <Ta-da>. Come on, Dorothy. Don't you carry nothing that might be a load. Come on. Ease on down.
FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.